There we go. Okay, just a few announcements before I start playing the prelude. So if you can go ahead and put your pronouns on your by your name, that's really helpful for everyone. And to do that, I put it in chat already, but you just can click on the upper right of your picture and there's three little dots. And if you click on them, it says rename, and then you can type in your name and put your pronouns as well. That would be great. And then Matt, you need to monitor admitting people. I'm going to be presiding and also doing tech stuff. So I have a lot. I'm going to be trying to spotlight people. So you might notice that someone gets large on the screen. That's why. And I don't think there's anything else. I did change the elements slightly to adapt back to Zoom. So might be doing things a little bit differently, but we're going to start this morning with the prelude, which is Flower Duet from Lock Me. Okay, so that was our first song. Just gonna get everything back again. There we go. All right. So my name is Renee Deschard. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I am program chair at Prairie and also the Prairie Fire newsletter editor. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We strive to be welcoming to all, although we recognize that we all have biases that limit our understanding of how others may perceive us. We stumble in our efforts, but we commit to keep trying to grow our ability to love people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender identity, family structure, age, or abilities. So we have a few announcements. You can also see the news of the week that Dan emails out. Our shared offering is with the Allied Wellness Center, which is a neighborhood center with the purpose of promoting health and wellness of the mind, body, and spirit of people living in the Allied, Belmar, and Dunn's Marsh neighborhoods. Through a philosophy of care and respect, they encourage participation and leadership to build a strong community. And we can't have an actual offering for actual money, but you can go to the website and there's a give button if you'd like to donate for the offering. Our Sunday service on September 26th will again be virtual. It is Unitarian Suffragist and Black by Francis E.W. Harper. It's presented by our own Robin Proud. Few of us have heard of Frances Ellen Watkins Harper, the leading Black poet of the 19th century, a novelist, an essayist, a fighter for abolition, temperance, and women's suffrage. She chose to join the Unitarian Church as an adult because it supported her aspirations for the country. The first full biography of this important figure has just been published to help us uncover her story. And then the last announcement I have is please watch our news listserv and website for when we plan to be back in person. I appreciate that everyone has come to join us virtually. So next up, we're going to have the chalice lighting is On the Brink by Leslie Takahashi, and it's going to be read by Al Nettleton. And Al, you're going to have to unmute yourself. There we go.
All that we have ever loved and all that we have ever been stands with us on the brink of all that we aspire to create, a deeper peace, a larger love, a more embracing hope, a deeper joy in this life that we share.
Thank you so much, Al. All right, so next we have our opening music. It's actually SLT 124, Be That Guide. And so I'm gonna play a video of it. And again, Matt and Nancy, if you can admit people, if they're joining, that would be great.
One of our Unitarian Universalist composers, songwriters, and hymnists, Thomas Benjamin, wrote the music. The text is by Carl Seberg. Another UU.
Be that guide whom love sustains, rise above the daily strife, lift on high the good you faith direct. tend to fear that faith be tomorrow's pioneer.
All right, looks like they forgot to do the last slide on that one, but that's okay. We kind of could just hum along or sing along. All right, we have our moment of silent meditation. I'm going to ring a chime. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to hear it very well, but if you can't, imagine there's a chime that just rang, and we will have like about a minute. I'm going to count it in my mind of silent meditation. All right, next we have Reverend Matt Aspen, who is going to do a reading.
Good morning, all. This is a selection from Widening the Circle of Concern, a report of the UUA Commission on Institutional Change, which many in this community have been reviewing for the past year, and I'm going to reference them a little bit in my talk later. The power of the individual member of our congregation and coveted community is best held with humility. We are asked to recognize that our power is shared with other individuals and that those called as partners in leadership within our communities. This is the dance of congregationalism, sharing leadership, recognizing when individuals are best in position to lead or to move back, and making space for new ideas, change and transformation. Congregationalism asks us to struggle as individuals and a body in order to determine the future of our faith. And while Unitarian Universalists value democracy, it is best not seen as democracy in the purely political sense. This is not about winning by vote alone, but rather as honoring the voices of all and listening to the call of conscience.
Thank you so much. And then we have Reverend Matt Aspen is going to talk about healing spaces.
Yes, things are a little out of order this morning, or differently ordered. And when I wrote this piece, I was mostly thinking about that I would be in the room with you when it was shared. But alas, that was not meant to be this week. So we'll do it this way and all will be well. During my interview process for this position, I met several individuals that had been members of Prairie UU Society for over 40 years. One of these people said to me, "It is very unlikely that you will ever say something that I already haven't heard before." And since I've arrived here, I've met many other folks for whom the first time I met them was the very first time they'd ever been to a UU service. So as you might imagine, knowing that this is my audience makes deciding what to focus on a very challenging proposition every week. Without even going back through and looking through all your archives though, I'm quite sure that I'm not the first person that has ever come before you and used the metaphor of a prairie to try to make a point from this stage, but that's okay. Anything worth saying is worth repeating. And for some here, all of this will be brand new. And a prairie works its magic through constant renewal. One of the things that attracted me to this community was your metaphor about the prairie. Now, I moved here from the Pacific Northwest. The nature there is majestic. Towering snow-capped mountains divide vibrant seas and intense desert lands. When I came here, my partner told me that Wisconsin holds the same amount of natural beauty. You just have to look a bit more closely to find it. As I've mentioned before, one of the places I have found that beauty is in some of the restored prairie lands a short bike ride away from my home. I might never have found it if I hadn't been shown the way. And I might easily have missed its miraculous beauty if I hadn't gone and sat within it, which is not unlike this community. You are easy to miss at first, But oh, what miracles you find if you happen upon it, and you begin to take the time to get to know it. A healthy prairie is a very special thing indeed. An actual healthy prairie is a self-sustaining ecosystem, home to a mind-boggling array of diverse life forms, all of which perform their own special function, which serve both themselves and always some other set of life around it, and all of which are dependent on the rest for their own survival. You may have heard me say at some point that I'm a religious naturalist, which is essentially a humanist that uses all the tools of humanism to understand the world, but also seeks to decenter themselves and remain fully grounded in our place within the order of things. One of the things I remember when reading Robin Wall Kimmerer's Braiding Sweetgrass, the book the study group is reading this month, was the reminder of the native wisdom that plants and other animals have been around a lot longer than we have, which means that we are the younger offspring of these lines and would do well to remember to honor our elders with a great deal more respect than they often remember to afford them. It is that centering of human perspective that has led to the degradation of so much natural prairie land. It is not surprising that as we are beginning to have an awakening to the havoc that we have caused in our ecosystems, that one of the strategies humans are deploying is an attempt to reclaim lost prairie lands. There are so many potential stories to draw from about the miracles to be found within a healthy prairie, and I suspect I will explore many of them during my time with you. But the main feature I want to talk about today is the soil, the source of it all. That small spit of reclaimed prairie land where I go to refresh my soul was once a completely decimated swath of industrial wasteland. The soil had been plowed and cemented over to make way for human growth and expansion. For this specific expanse of reclaimed prairie, I'm grateful for the visionary leaders at the Urban Ecology Center, the nonprofit that has been instrumental in the developing of partnerships, gathering resources, and providing the education needed to advocate for reclaiming of these sacred lands. My soul is fed a small dose of hope each time I see them leading a group of young people on an educational tour through this space, opening the next generations to the lessons of balance that can really only be understood through the lens of a healthy, interconnected ecosystem. I've come to believe that the same drives that led to the destruction of the prairies have led to the breakdowns in our larger society as well. This community here, made up of each of you, feels to me to embody the life-giving spirit of a prairie in human form. This is the reason I am so committed to your future expansion and continued health. As groups are trying to restore the prairie, they're sometimes having to help the process along because the foundations upon which natural prairies used to rise have been so degraded. Such is the case with human communities, I believe. The ground upon which our formerly communal world that nurtured our humanity for millennia has been so degraded that many of us have forgotten the primacy of community as a vital ingredient in our capacity to survive and thrive in this world. Capitalism has gotten so good at delivering what is needed for those that have the capacity to purchase both necessities and comforts, that we may have come to the false subconscious belief that we can get by on our own. The elders here in this community seem to remember part of what has been lost. The efforts of those that were part of this prairie community but have since passed have contributed to the creation of a healthy communal soil. Just like in a real prairie, it is the life that came before that forms the foundation for each successive generation of life to come after. The other ingredient beyond history, which I think is vitally needed for the creation of healthy soil in a human system like this, is covenant. Covenant is central to the Unitarian Universalist faith because it holds the promises we make to each other. This society actually created a wonderful covenant back in 2007, Covenant of Right Relations. I sense that there was likely some catalyst that made you recognize this might be an important thing to do to get you through whatever turmoil you were facing at the time. And in true Prairie UU Society fashion, it appears you came together and crafted a well-thought-out document that sought to define how you intended to be in relation with each other, which I also sense did some good for a time and helped you either remain healthy or move back to health. It's likely that many of the intentions you set out in that covenant of right relationship you crafted helped to strengthen the soil of your community and continue forward in healthy balance for the next many seasons. By the time I arrived here, though, that document and the ideas it contained had sort of begun to recede in the institutional memory of the place. I think one of my jobs as minister is to remind you of things that you already know or may have forgotten. One of those things that I want to remind us about is the centrality of covenant in the fabric of this faith tradition. Covenants are the promises we make to each other on sunny days when all is well. Covenants become the soil in which our prairie is planted, and which ends up holding the promises of rebirth when the traumas of fire, or an especially harsh winter, or a pandemic appear to push our prairie to the brink. The generation that built this particular prairie has developed some good soil. I know from your history the challenges that you have already overcome together. Your efforts have provided a roadmap for those of us that are coming up behind you. Many parts of our world are on fire today, and there are so many seekers looking for the refuge provided by a prairie like this one, whether they know it yet or not. One of the things you've asked for my help with over the coming years is helping you to grow, to expand this prairie a bit beyond its current bounds. My reintroduction of your covenant of right relations to your board at our last meeting is a first step in that direction. You'll be hearing more of that from me as I make my way around to different committees. This covenant that you wrote all those years ago needs to be a living document if it is to remain available to all of us as life-giving soil. And if you haven't seen this covenant yet, or haven't seen it in a while, I'd invite you to look it up on the website and review it. It's there. It's a beautiful reminder of the types of promises we need to make to each other and renew on a regular basis if we are to remain a truly healthy ecosystem. The other thing that a healthy prairie contains is a wide diversity of different life forms, all serving exactly the function that they have been born to do, all contributing to the health of the system by nothing more than their very existence. The worms compost the soil, which creates a fertile landing spot for the seeds that are deposited by the birds, which convert the sun and water into plants that provide food and grow flowers, which provides shelter for bugs, and bees, which help pollinate and spread, all which help to feed larger animals, all of which eventually pass on and replenish the soil for the next generation. In the interest of time, this is a necessarily simplistic metaphor to describe the components of a human system like the one we are all a part of here at Prairie. In an intentional community such as this, designed to create a space of safety and rejuvenation for all who find us, there is a need and a place for all the gifts that are available within this community. But here's another spot where I think we humans have an opportunity to remember some of the lessons from the natural world. The prairie ecosystem only works because each element within the prairie does what it is uniquely designed to do. And in doing so, it ends up sharing its gifts with the whole. A flower would never say, "I don't think I'm quite pretty enough. I think I'll choose not to unfold to ensure the bees choose not to judge me harshly." Can you imagine? If all the flowers decided to withhold their gifts, the entire system would collapse. Suppose the earthworms decided they were too tired to keep burrowing. What if the bees decided it was too much trouble to keep flying from flower to flower? These possibilities sound preposterous because none of these entities are burdened with the gift of free will. But how often do we humans hide our gifts or make choices to use them only for our own benefit or the benefit of our own family, but forget to share them with the wider whole? When I say the larger society in which we exist has degraded our soil, this is what I mean. We exist in a society that's paved over all the natural connections we used to have to rely on to survive, and replaced our natural prairie connections with separated, commoditized solutions that we are told will keep us safe. The source of our thriving and the secret to our continued survival can be found within intentional communities such as this one. So many people in this community seem to understand this. So many people have contributed so much of themselves to this prairie over the years. You've helped to instill the wisdom of the prairie into generations of young people who have gone forth into the world carrying and spreading seeds of what is needed for healthy human flourishing. The history of what you have built here and how you did it is a story that I think needs to be shared widely and often. And that is part of what I hope to help you do. While you were doing this work, the world continued to change around you. In general, it seems like you've done a pretty good job honoring the changes and continuing to adapt your ways of being in response. This process of continual adaptation to environmental change is also crucial for the survival and expansion of healthy prairie lands. There's been a group of folks here that I mentioned just a bit ago that have been reviewing a report from the UUA called Widening the Circle of Concern, whose purpose is to inform congregations of the changes in the wider environment that we need to continually adapt to if we are to remain healthy and viable. I'm grateful for the work that this group has done over the past year to review this material, and I'm eager to support the recommendations they'll be making to the board in the coming weeks. It is my belief that the ideas of this group, that this group will be forwarding, contain all of the needed soil amendments required to ensure this prairie remains healthy, vibrant, and expanding for many years to come. I'm so glad I found this place. I'm so glad new folks are continuing to find refuge in this place. As this pandemic surges on, as more and more elements seek to divide and weaken us, it is communities like Prairie that have the potential to help us weather the storms. My reminder to you today is that your gifts are needed now more than ever. I'm not talking about your financial gifts, but rather the unique gifts that you can contribute. If you are new here and aren't quite sure yet where to contribute, or even if you have anything to contribute, I invite you into conversation, either with me or someone else you've met here that has been a part of this community for a while. This prairie is healthiest when we are all connected and all sharing our gifts. In a world filled with so many problems, I intend to remind us constantly of our possibilities. If your eyesight is failing, you can still tell your story. If your hearing is failing, you can still make art. I visited a member last week whose memory is almost gone, but she still has a super positive outlook and a big smile to share. That smile and positivity was enough to fuel me through just about any challenge I might have faced this week, and there is immense value in that. Whether we are able to meet in person or are temporarily separated again by pandemic, the flowers in a prairie never hide their petals. The bees have never stopped helping to spread the flowers' pollen. All of you are needed. All of you are valued. And all of you choose to contribute. All that you choose to contribute becomes a part of the ever unfolding story of this refuge we call home. Blessed be, and may it be so. And thank you all.
Thank you, Reverend Matt Aspen. All right, I removed the spotlight, but if you want to actually see all the little tiles of people on the upper right under view, you have to click on gallery for it to like go back. So we have time for discussion. If you want to talk, if you can like raise your hand on your camera, or there should also be on mine, there's like a bottom bar under reactions and there's like a raise hand button that you can do. And that basically raises a virtual hand. How snazzy is that? So if anyone would like to talk related to Matt's presentation, you can raise your hand. I'm looking. Oh, okay, Robin, go ahead. You can unmute yourself.
Oh, well, I just love what Matt said about the contributions. I was struck by that when we had these group calls to meet Matt over Zoom. So we were a random group of people that signed up for that time. And there was somebody that was on the building committee and somebody that had to do with history and music and somebody that liked to do bylaws. And I thought, thank goodness, we have all those people that love to do those things so I can do what I like to do and get up and present. And for our new people, you don't have to be a professional, but if you like music, if you like to play games with kids, if you have any kind of interest that you want to pursue, we want to know about it. And as I know, we have some brand new people and we love to have them all get involved. So anyway, thank you, Matt, for those that great analogy about the prairie.
Thank you, Robin. And Steve, I see your chat message. I know it's there somewhere, but I can't look while I'm running the Zoom. So if there's a break, I'll go find it and put it in the chat box for you. Did anyone else have any? Oh, there's Rachel. You want to go ahead and?
Yeah, let me just share how to find the Covenant of Right Relations. So if you go to the Prairie website and you see the little list of options, if you go to About and scan down, you'll see our policies. And that's not the perfect place for this, but that's where it is. And then you'll see the covenant. It's actually called Good Relations, but that is our document. So it's not hard to find. You look at About, scroll down and go to our policies.
Thank you, Rachel. And Katrina also listed it in the chat. That's another link as well. I see Randy. Would you like to unmute yourself?
There I go. Matt's comment about moving from the Northwest to the Midwest was very interesting to me personally, because I often am enamored with the huge mountains of the Rockies, et cetera, et cetera. But when I go there, I feel an initial being overwhelmed by them. And then I sort of feel kind of scared. Their awesomeness kind of scares me. So when I come and I say, well, I don't think I really want to live here, even though it's quite an experience to be here. So I come back to Madison, and then I do things like I did yesterday, where I go to a prairie out in Verona. And I say, this is home for me. It's peaceful, it's tranquil, it's not overwhelming, but it's got a lot of complexity that looking at a mountain does. And even I might even add even more complexity. So my attention, along with my calmness, is heightened by just being part of the Midwest. So I understand that. Thank you.
And just so you know, if you noticed, I was looking because I thought, wait, Matt was on my upper left and he vanished. He just emailed me and his computer froze. So, you know, one of the downsides of having service on Zoom is technology can stop. That's why I make co-hosts in case like my internet would go down and the whole Zoom doesn't collapse. So anyway, I told him just to rejoin when he is able to. So at some point, Matt will most likely pop up. Here he comes. So he's coming back. Thank you, Randy, for the comments. I see Mary. Can you unmute yourself, Mary?
Yes. I also loved the reference to the prairie because it is very complex. as far as living, I've lived in the East Coast on Long Island, was surrounded by salt water, and then in the West Colorado, surrounded by mountains. But I consider myself a Midwesterner after more than 50 years back here in Wisconsin, and they're all good. And I think it's important not to be too regional about, because that becomes a fragmenting type of loyalty to a particular place. And I think we have too much of that in our present society. Thank you very much for your service, Matt.
Thank you for your comments, Mary.
Very wise reminder. Thank you, Mary.
Did anyone have other? Rick, I see your hand. You can go ahead and unmute yourself.
Wouldn't be Sunday without me speaking up. thank you, Matt. I really like that you went into our archives to find where we come from. I'm going to review that covenant closely, because I think that without doubt, 13 years, I think, have passed, you said, and there may be things that we'd like to state differently or do differently, particularly in the context of today's society. But I'd like to tell the people that haven't been around forever that there's always opportunity to update whatever we've got written in stone at Prairie. So, you know, you're welcome to join us to change this too. So anyway, thank you, Matt. It's a great place to begin your ministership, or whatever that is, your ministerial presence with us. Thanks.
Whatever it is, we'll learn that together as well.
I lost it.
I apologize. My computer broke down for a minute. I had to reboot, so I think I might have missed a couple of comments in the middle there, but I apologize for that.
I see Eileen has a hand up. Go ahead, Eileen.
This reminds me of a few things, Matt, that I know that you're aware of some of it, and others who have been joining us more recently might appreciate. First of all, the name Prairie we gained because some of our original members, when they decided they would want to have a piece of land for us to eventually build on, actually bought a piece of land on the far west, southwest side that had a remnant piece of prairie. It's now part of the green space around the city. And sometime we should really get a field trip to go there. It was held
in the Arboretum has some of it.
Oh yeah, the Arboretum bought that piece. So some of the people who bought it eventually decided they wanted their money back from the trust. And so when we were not decided, we were not going to build a new place, we really didn't think we could get the funds together for it, and instead bought the building we're in now, the trust dissolved. But the history of the Prairie has certainly remained with us. The other thing is, I wanted to share one of the early members, Dan Willard, who was an ecologist, an early ecologist. One of the things he taught us was that very thing you started with, and that is the importance of the soil and also the diversity. And he, on one of our retreats, had us study, what was it, 1 square foot of prairie?
1 square yard.
1 square yard.
Or meter.
And looked to see what we could find there. And we were all sitting down there on the ground, and he had us measured out. And we sat down on the ground and actually looked at it and could only imagine. We didn't dig to see what was underneath, but we did that another time with another member. To appreciate that amazing diversity that was there.
Let me add a little piece of history too. Our website is UU Prairie, because there is a Prairie UU. Prairie Unitarian Universalist in Colorado. And they had the Prairie UU website name first.
And I got to connect with them when I accidentally did that wrong the first time. Who are you?
Oops. Thank you, Alan, Eileen. Carol, I see your hand raised. You can go ahead on mute.
Sorry, I didn't change my name to Orange. I should have done that.
Oh, Orange, sorry.
That's okay. I was just thinking, based on what Al was just saying, that it would be really fun, especially since we're Zooming, to do a meeting with our colleagues in Colorado, find out what their story is. And I mean, because we would never meet in person, but if we're virtual anyway.
Very true. It never hurts to ask. If you don't ask, you have 0% chance of success, right? If you do ask, it's at least a little bit over 0%. I wrote it down. Did anyone have any other thoughts? Rachel.
I'm like Rick, I have to talk, but sorry about that. I just wanted to comment that as the board has tried to navigate this difficult situation of always excluding somebody, you know, being on Zoom, excluding people that aren't on the internet, and being in person, excluding people that don't feel comfortable coming in person because of their vulnerabilities. I actually feel okay about having a Zoom opportunity so we can pick up some people that we haven't seen because they haven't been able to come in person, some because of distance and some because of vulnerability. So I very much appreciate that people have been able to move back and forth. And I'm glad to see so many people that found us on Zoom today. And just again, feel so good about our community's ability to adapt.
Thank you, Rachel. I see a virtual hand. I hope I pronounce it. Is it Dara?
Technically, it's Dara.
Dara. Okay, I wasn't sure if it's Dara or Dara. Dara. Sorry, Dara.
Dara is a woman's name and Dara is a man's name.
Ah, okay.
But all this discussion about the prairie as a sort of a calming influence reminded me of a story in our family. I used to spend a lot of time talking with my great-grandmother, and she would tell me stories about her father who fought in the Civil War. And unfortunately, he spent most of his time in a prisoner of war camp in the South. And so he suffered from what we would now call PTSD. But the way that he dealt with that a lot that she told me about was that their house sort of overlooked a prairie. And he would get out on the front porch in his rocking chair and just sort of sit there and watch the prairie and just look. And that became the calming influence that sort of helped him get through things. So just thought I would share that.
Thank you. Ron, would you like to unmute?
Thanks. I've been enjoying Reverend Matt's sermons, that he uses metaphors and that sermons often move us. I really appreciate that. And I have one to share back at him. When I was a boy, I grew up in Oklahoma, right on the southern tip of the tall grass prairie that you see in the more northern parts driving through the middle of Kansas. So big, vast prairie. And I used to get in trouble when I'd come in from being outside because my mom would have bought me jeans that were extra long, so I would be growing into them. But that meant when I unturned the cuffs, all this chaff came out of there, dust and rocks and twigs. And that's because I was out, picture this like a cool fall day, even early winter day. It's not as cold in Oklahoma. I'm wearing my jeans jacket, my jeans, and you go out and you lay in the tall grass and you do it so that the sun is shining on you. It's a particularly warm place to be. It's really comfortable. And Matt, I'm hoping that's how prairie feels to you.
I will get a little bit in for a sermon one time that I was doing in seminary about truly getting into and experiencing nature. And it all comes down to actually getting into nature and enveloping yourself in nature. And that's the, I think that's the way to be in community, and that's the way to be in a prairie.
All right, I think the last one, Dara, did you raise your hand a second time, or is that from before? No? Okay, that was from before. Any one last? Matt, Reverend Matt.
All right, I just want to close up here and echo what Rachel said. This was a challenging decision that we all put our heads together around, and I know it was last minute, and we had really valued coming back together in person and seeing each other and being able to like look into each other's eyes and experience each other's presence, but I think it is wise that the leadership of this community is trying to just listen to the science and react to the science and make decisions as to how we gather when we do and how we do. And I just wanted to express that I'm grateful for the shared leadership of all the folks, May and Rachel and everybody else that comes together and makes the decisions that work to keep us all both together and safe. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. So we're on to our closing words. And just so you know, we'll do joys and concerns at the very end, kind of how we did before. So they are coming up. Don't worry. Joys and concerns will be here. The closing words are, "It is our journey together" by Deborah Hafner. And Eileen is going to read them. Go ahead, Eileen.
Can I ask a question first? Are we going to do breakout rooms today or not?
I think we should. Yes. We'll talk about it after joys and concerns, but
thank you. Thank you. And thank you for jumping in and keeping us going here today.
You're welcome.
It is our journey together by Deborah Hafner. We are on a journey. We didn't plan it. We didn't have time for the bread to rise. We may find ourselves in the wilderness, hungry, thirsty, doubting that we should have ever come. But look around. We are not alone. It is our journey together, a journey to our better selves, a journey to a better world, a journey to a more promised land.
Thank you, Eileen. The last song is called Love is Love. I'm just going to make sure everyone's muted before I share. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen for the last video. Here we go.
Love, love, love. All we need is 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 love.
Love is love.
All we need is love.
Love is love.
are two Prairie members in there. I don't know if people spotted them. I spotted Patty and Morris. So that was a surprise. I didn't think they were going to be in there. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, I recognize someone.
And Mary Mullen.
Was Mary Mullen in there too? I missed Mary. Sorry, Mary. There were a lot of different singers in there. So that was really cool. Thank you for contributing to that. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording so you're going to hear it.